So today we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday. This feast day goes back to a series of visions that a Polish nun had. Her name was Sister Faustina. And she was required under obedience, her superior required to write down these different revelations that she had had from Jesus Christ and from the Blessed Virgin Mary. So those are found in, it's called the Diary of St. Faustina. Certainly encourage you, if you've never checked it out, to read some of that, because it's very powerful, and your faith will really come alive with the reality of some of these things that St. Faustina recorded. It's a really, really thick book, but it's written in short diary entries, so you don't have to read the whole thing at once. You can just read bits and pieces of it. So I certainly recommend that. But she is a canonized saint, and she is one of the greatest saints of the modern era. And her series of visions that she had were closely intertwined with the papacy of John Paul II, one of the greatest popes in our history. And so St. Faustina lived in the 1930s. Pope John Paul II declared Divine Mercy Sunday to be a universal feast day throughout the entire world in the year 2000. And this is not only a universal feast day, but he selected the first Sunday after Easter, the last day in the octave of Easter. So this is one of the most important feast days in the church year. And it's certainly one that has changed the very character of the church's message. So when it comes to divine mercy, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is Jesus Christ is opening the floodgates of his mercy. The bad news is, this is, as Jesus Christ said to St. Faustina, a sign of the imminent end times. The end of the world is coming. And this is the last attempt on Jesus Christ to reach out to the world and to make his mercy available to the human race one last time before the day of judgment, the end of the world. As the Blessed Virgin Mary said to St. Faustina, the angels tremble before the day of wrath that's about to come upon the human race. So how imminent is this? Is it years? Is it a couple decades? We really don't know. But this is the message from Jesus Christ to Faustina, St. Faustina, and certainly the message of the church in instituting this feast day. It's the last call. So, last chance. This isn't a feast day that's meant for super devout people who just want to celebrate the Lord's mercy. This is a feast day that's meant for the entire human race as a last call. So the last attempt to reach out to sinners for mercy and forgiveness. So as we look at this feast day, what is mercy? Definition would be God's healing power applied to our misery. So if you want a good scriptural example, you could think of the story of the Good Samaritan. An individual had been beaten and left for dead beside the road, and the Good Samaritan came along and showed him mercy by taking care of his wounds and by caring for him in that situation until he was healed. The mercy that our Lord Jesus Christ wishes to show us is a far greater mercy, because it doesn't deal with physical injuries. It deals with the state of our souls, the wretched and miserable state that our souls are in as the result of our sin. And so our Lord sees us in such terrible condition, and so he wants to reach out and to heal us. And so on this feast day, he opens up the gates of his mercy. So in order to understand what this feast day is about, first we have to say, well, what's wrong with the state of our souls? What does sin really do to us? And if we look at the great saints, the people throughout history who have been closest to our Lord, one of the things that we'll see very consistently is that they have had a deep sorrow for their sins. Even though their sins objectively are probably much less than an average person's, because these are people who are closest to our Lord. But they recognized more clearly how offensive even the slightest sins are to Jesus Christ. And so the saints do great penance for their sins. And if we look at an example, St. John Vianney, the patron saint of priests, there's occasions when he was hearing confessions that he would be weeping. And at one point, someone asked him, why are you crying? He says, I'm weeping over your sins because you're not. He recognized the severity of sins more clearly than the average person did. And so if we want an example to help drive this home, a lot of times it's very easy for us when we commit sin to just ignore that or to compromise with sin and think, well, it's no big deal. Now, for example, if a kid is lying to his parents or lying to a teacher, well, he can get away with it for a while and he can think, oh, this is no big deal, and go about his life as if nothing happened. But when his parents or the teacher find out and they confront the child face to face and say, why did you lie to me? Suddenly, tables turn. It's like, oh no, what have I done? And we begin to see that the severity of what we've done. Or a person who commits adultery. They can get away with it and pretend that everything's okay. But when their spouse finds out, suddenly, boom, you're confronted with the reality of what you've done. So it's easy for us when we sin to just ignore that. But a time is going to come when we have to stand before Jesus Christ. And we're going to have to make an account for our actions. And when we're standing before Jesus Christ, we'll see a God of infinite perfection and goodness. And so our sins, when compared to the infinite goodness of God, are going to appear as they truly are, far worse than anything we can imagine in this world. And so as the saints testify, the closer we get to our Lord, the more clearly we see the extent of our sin. And so first we have to recognize how severe the sin is before we can understand the depth of Christ's mercy. You know, it'll be in the next life that for all eternity, we'll be meditating upon the incomprehensible mercy of Jesus Christ. It will be absolutely incomprehensible the depth of love that he's showing in healing us for these wounds that we do, that we commit, these sins that we commit. And so on this feast day, our Lord has promised to open up the floodgates of his mercy, to open up the infinite depth of his mercy and to pour it out upon mankind so that these sins that we commit, we can be healed. The sins can be forgiven and he can pour out his healing power to heal the wounds that that's caused. And so our Lord has promised incredible graces upon those who seek his mercy, especially on this day. And so he's made this a day to open up the floodgates of mercy because he does not wish to condemn us for our sins. He doesn't wish for us to perish and to be condemned for all eternity. He desires to heal us. Everyone must walk through one of two doors, the door of justice or the door of mercy. And so this is a time for us to seek his mercy. And so after this Mass, we're going to have the Divine Mercy devotions in which we'll have that mercy available to us. So we'll have the usual rosary after Mass. And then starting at 10 o'clock, we'll have all the faith formation kids come back over to church. And we will have Eucharistic adoration. We'll have the sung Divine Mercy chaplet, and we'll have three priests available to hear confessions. So there is a plenary indulgence, which is a complete removal of all punishment due to sin, which is available. The requirements to gain that indulgence are they've been running in the bulletin, so you can check out the bulletin for those requirements. So we certainly encourage everyone, take advantage of this feast day of mercy. It is urgent. The end is coming soon. Our sins cause great wounds, but our Lord's mercy and his desire to heal us is incomprehensible.